upon the streets of gold, beside the crystal sea. We heard the angels singing, and someone called your name. You turned and saw this young man, and he was smiling as he came. And he said, "Friend, you may not know me now." And then he said, "But wait, you used to teach my Sunday school when I was only 8. And every week you would say a prayer before the class would start. And one day when you said that prayer, I asked Jesus in my heart." Stood before you and said, "Remember the time a missionary came to your church. His pictures made you cry. You didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. And Jesus took the gift you gave, and that's why I'm here today. Changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave." One by one they came, far as the eye could see, and each life somehow touched by your generosity. And little things that you had done, sacrifices made, are noticed on the earth, in heaven now proclaimed. And I know up in heaven you're not supposed to cry, but I am changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. Thank you for giving to the Lord. For I am a life that was changed. So glad you gave.
Thank you, Mrs. Jones. Enjoyed that, and I hope you listened as she sung. You know, we come to church, I'll listen to everything. Not just the preaching, not just the teaching, but the music. Music has a message in it as well. not just the message or the sermon or the Sunday school lesson. And boy, if we'll open our ears, it's amazing what you can learn if you just listen. And we need to open our ears to all of it. So Mrs. Jones, thank you for the preparation and the ministry and song there to us. Well, we welcome you to Trinity Baptist Church this morning. I'm assuming that you're here this morning because you want to be. I'm assuming that you came to church this morning because you wanted to hear something from the Bible. And then I'm assuming, because all this has to do with what I'm going to preach on, then I'm going to assume that you want to know something about God. And I don't know about you, but listen, folks, we'll never get to the place where we know everything about Him. And so every time I come to church, I ought to be able to pick up a little another piece of understanding and wisdom about Him. So with your Bibles this morning, take your Bible, if you would, Psalm 145. Psalm chapter 145, if you would, please. Psalm chapter number 145. All right, let's stand together. We'll read a few scriptures, verse number 3, and then we'll skip to verse 8 and verse number 9. Psalm 145, beginning in verse number 3. The Bible says, "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable." Look at verse 8. "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works." Now, with these verses in mind, I want to challenge you this morning, and this is the crux of the message here. I want to challenge you this morning in this message, if you'll listen. My challenge to you this morning is simply this: let God be God. Let God be God. Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Now, Lord, I am so grateful to be in church today in a free country where we come open the Bible. We can learn, Lord, more and more about You, about Your will. And I pray that You would have Your will in the hearts and lives of these people. And as the preaching goes forth, let the power of Your Word and the truths of Your Word settle in our hearts, that we might, Lord, make decisions about what we need to do as far as our life and our will for our life. And we'll give You the glory for all that You should do now this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. God, out of His loving favor for man, gave us what you have in your hand called the Bible. That Bible is the memoirs of God. It's a diary of God about all, not only just His wonderful works, but about where you came from and why you're here. You see, contained in the Word of God is God and His purpose and plan. See, that's the reason people get all out of whack with God, because they don't know what the purpose is. They don't know what the plan is. But you know, what we have right here is we have God's message to us. He communicates to us the purpose, His purpose and plan. But also contained in the Bible is not only His purpose and plan, but His desire for mankind. Hey, we don't have time to go through everything, but you'll find in here He's got a desire for you and for me. Now, let me tell you what His greatest desire is. His greatest desire for you and His greatest desire for me is for you and me and Him to spend eternity together. That's His greatest desire. Now, the unfortunate thing, not everybody desires that, but He desires that. You see, it gives us His desire for mankind, what He wants us to do, what He doesn't want us to do. He tells us in His Word what's good for us and what's bad for us. You see, we have it all contained in the Bible here. You know why? Because God's favor. He loves us. But also contained in here, we find on that subject, God's love for man. Did you not read in Psalm 145 where the Bible says He is good to all? Did we not read that His greatness is unsearchable? Folks, listen, if the greatest truth, if you miss this truth that God loves you, you're going to miss everything. He loves you. He cares for you. His desire is toward you. Listen, I know He loves me because I read John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hey, that first statement, boy, if you could just get a hold of that first statement, it'd transform your life. For God so loved the world. But it tells us God's love for man, but may I say also it tells in the Scripture about God's future with man. It tells us about God's future with man. And listen carefully. God wants to save all. He wants to save everybody. You know what the problem is? Not everybody wants to be saved. He wants to save people. But it's amazing to me that not everybody wants to be saved. Not everybody wants to spend eternity with God. I'm here to tell you this morning, dear friend, that we find in the Scripture the memoirs of Almighty God that you have in your hand. We find His purpose, His plan, His desires for mankind, His love, and His future for those who are saved and for those who are not saved. We find in here that the future for the saved are an eternity with God in heaven. For the lost without God, it's an eternity in hell. You see, we learn about God's future for man. And I'm here, dear friend, this morning to communicate to you that God reveals this information so that we might know Him and His character. So that we would know who we are and who He is and what we can be in Jesus Christ. You have it right there in your hands. You see, if we read the Bible from cover to cover, it's not difficult to figure out that God wants to be God. He wants to be God. You see, the negative factor in this whole equation is that man resists Him from being God. He wants to be God. He wants to. But you know what? The lost man don't want Him to be God. And the sad thing is the saved man won't let Him be God. The lost man don't want Him to be, and the saved man, we won't let Him be. Because we want to make the decisions in life. We want to determine what's right and wrong. We want to do what's right in our own eyes. We won't let God be who He wants to be and be God in our life. The sad thing is God's dilemma in all of this is He created man with a free will to choose their destiny. You see, He gives them a free will to choose Him or not to choose Him. And I'll tell you this morning, God will never force entrance into your life. He wants you to choose Him willfully. Now, by not allowing God to be God, listen carefully, you will never have peace. Until you come and allow Him to be God in your life. You will never have peace. You'll never have joy. You will be miserable till the day you die. Because you won't let Him be who He wants to be. He wants to be God. And the lost man resists Him. They don't want you to be God. And yet here today in the house of God, we got believers that won't let Him be. We won't let Him be God. And yet He wants to be. You say, preacher, how do we get to this place? Well, somewhere along the path, our view of God got distorted. Our view of who God is got distorted. We got disappointed in Him because maybe He didn't come through like you thought He ought to come through. Let me tell you what this distorted view and this disappointment in Him will do nothing but cause you disaster. Somewhere along the line, we got out of whack as far as our view is. And who God is. Until we regain a positive view of who God is, you're never going to have peace. Somewhere, I don't know where, maybe we've been watching too many TV shows or something. Maybe we've been listening or reading too many books we shouldn't be reading. But somewhere, we got the idea that God is our enemy. And that He is waiting for you to mess up so He can smash you. Where'd you get that idea from? You didn't get it from the Bible. See, God wants to be God. There's more to that. Sure, He's a God of judgment. Sure, He's a God that will not tolerate sin. He's not going to tolerate it. But may I say to you, that's just one aspect of God. That's not the whole picture of God. We need to get a view of who He is. I'm here to tell you, the churches of the living God are full of Christians whose view is distorted. It's all negative. It's all negative. I'm here to tell you, my friend, we serve a positive God. Say, sure, sometimes He has to be negative. But mamas and daddies, don't you have to be negative sometimes too? Huh? Yeah. But you want to be positive, don't you? Huh? Don't you want to care for your kids and bless them and love on them and treat them wonderfully? Isn't that what you want to do? So what's the problem? The problem is sometimes they won't let you do that. And I'm here to tell you today, this morning, we won't let God be God. We won't let Him be who He wants to be. I'm here to tell you this morning, number one, He wants to be a God of miracles. He wants to be a God of miracles. Listen, some of you in this auditorium today are living proof of the miracles of God because you're living on borrowed time. It's a miracle. Now listen, here's what we think. We think all miracles have to be something that this fire and smoke and this poof. That's what we've got to, listen, our view's distorted. Listen, folks, a miracle doesn't have to be something that's absolutely mind-boggling. A miracle is just simply anything, any event, any effect, contrary to the established course or contrary to the laws of nature. In other words, it's unexplainable. That's what a miracle is. And yet we serve a God that wants to be a God of miracles. Some of us today, if some of us in this room gave testimony today, some of you could stand today and give a testimony that God has performed miracles in your life. Hey, He may not raise the dead, but you know what He did? He provided a financial need that you had no idea where it was coming from. And man, you got that financial need met, you think, glory to God, it's a miracle! And you'd be right. But that's what He wants to be. He wants to do things like that. He wants to be a God of miracles. Let me read you a scripture here. You don't have to turn to it. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 6. Listen to this. The scripture says, "For I am the Lord. I change not." Let me give you a sister verse to that in the New Testament. Hebrews 13 verse number 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means He's the same God that led the children of Israel across the Red Sea. You know what He does? He wants to lead you also. He led them across. He's willing to lead you in life. Some of you here today, I'm telling you, some of us today, we need a miracle. We need a miracle in our life. You say, oh, I want a miracle so bad, I need one. Do you know why Jesus in His ministry couldn't do great works in some areas? Because the Bible says of their unbelief. It was their unbelief that kept Him from doing great things, for kept Him from doing wonderful miracles and healing the sick and saving the lost and raising the dead and all of these great things that He could have done. It was their unbelief. They didn't believe it. So you know what He did? He left because they wouldn't let Him be God, Brother Robbins. He was willing to heal their sick, but they wouldn't let Him because of their unbelief. And you know why many of us have never experienced the miracle-touching hand of God? It may be because of our unbelief. We just don't believe. It may be, number two, because of our unconcern. We're just not unconcerned about our lifestyle. Oh, I'm not concerned about my vices or habits or my relationships. Hey, I'm free. And we're just unconcerned about these things. And let me tell you something we do. We forfeit. We forfeit the miracle-working hand of God. You show me miracles in the Bible, and I'll show you people of faith. Every time. Not people who were concerned about their lifestyle. Not people who were unconcerned about this. Listen, almost without exception, every one of them fell on their face and said, "Oh God, what a wonderful thing. Oh my God, what a great God you are." They didn't say, "Thanks, bud, here." And tip him? No, they were thankful. They were people of faith. And I'm here to tell you this morning, dear congregation, you listen to me, God wants to be a God of miracles. He said, "Oh, those miracles, those miracles in the Bible, they're all past. Good night. If they are, I'm in trouble. If I don't serve a God of yesterday, today, or forever, I'm in trouble." Because let me tell you something, some of us today need a financial miracle. Some of us today need a spiritual miracle. Some of us today need a family miracle to take place. And let me tell you something, if He's the same God of Israel, if He's the same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you listen to me, my friend, He's the same God today. He wants to be a God of miracles. May I say, secondly, not only does He want to be a God of miracles, God is a God of mercy. God is a God of mercy. Take your Bible, if you would, Psalm 118, if you would, please. We don't have time to exhaust all the scriptures that have reference to the mercy of God. But in Psalm chapter 118 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good." That sounds like what we read a while ago in Psalm 145, doesn't it? "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, because His mercy endureth forever." You know what He wants to be today? He wants to be a God not only of miracles, He wants to be a God of mercy. He wants to be a God that chooses not to give you what you deserve. And you know what? You know who gets to make that choice? He does. He gets to make the choice. And let me tell you something, friend. There's not a person in here that deserves heaven. But because of Jesus, you know what? That's what I get. And you know who gets to choose that? God does. Thank goodness man doesn't, because man wouldn't let some of you go to heaven. Man wouldn't let me go to heaven. But God gets to be the God of mercy. I'm here to tell you, my friend, today, God, not only is a God of mercy, He's a God of chances. You know, that question came up in the New Testament in Matthew chapter 18 and verse number 21. Listen to it, Matthew chapter 18 and verse number 21. The question came up about forgiveness. And in Matthew 18 and verse number 21, the Scripture says, "Then came Peter to Him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him?" And listen, he got smart. Seven times? He kind of got smart mouth like some of us get smart mouth with God. He said, "Seven times?" And Jesus said unto him, "I say unto thee, until seven times, but until 70 times seven." You know what God said? God said, "I'm a God of mercy, and I get to choose on whom I will have mercy. And I'll get to choose how many chances you get." And Peter said, "How many times, how many chances you gonna give them? Seven?" He said, "No. How about 70 times seven? Not just for that. How about 70 times seven for each sin? Not total." He said, what he's saying to his church is this. He said, "I'm a God of chances. If it wasn't for that, I'd be lost today." Thank God for chances. Listen, thank God that He's a God of mercy. And you know what? He gets to choose who He's to have mercy on. He gets to choose that He's the God of chances. Wait a minute now. He's not just the God of chances. Over 10 times in the New Testament, the word compassion is directly connected to Jesus. He is not only a God of chances and wants to be a God of chances, but He's a God of compassion. Many times in Jesus' ministry, He looked over the people and He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. They were just roaming about life, had no direction, had no idea what they were doing. And He had compassion on them. You see, God gets to choose and wants to be a God of mercy, of chances. He wants to be a God of compassion. He wants to extend compassion to those in time of need. See, He is a God of mercy. But may I say also, not only is He a God of chances and compassion, He's a God of comfort. Yeah, He's a God of comfort. Let me read you something here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 3, for those of you that have a heartache this morning, let me encourage you to go and read this and meditate on this afternoon. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 3, the Bible says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. The God of all comfort. You see, He wants to be God. He wants to be a God of miracles, but He wants to be a merciful God in our life. He wants to be a God of chance and compassion, but He also wants to be a God of comfort. Yeah. I don't know if you haven't experienced the comfort of God, you will one day. And you better thank God He's a God of mercy and a God of comfort. Because you know what? That's what He wants to be. Listen, folks, just let Him be God. That's who He wants to be. He wants to be a God of miracles. He wants to be a God of mercy. Hey, He enjoys being compassionate. He enjoys comforting. That's His character. Our view's just distorted. You see, I've often spoke with people who tell me, they said, Brother Todd, I just want to be who I am. I just want to be who I am. I'm tired of people trying to make me be something I'm not. I just want to be who I am. Can I say this to you? This is God's sentiments exactly. Just let me be who I am. Stop trying to make me a God in a box. Stop trying to put me in a matchbox and use me as a puppet. Let me be God. Let me be a God of miracles. I want to be that. Let me be a God of mercy. I want to be merciful. He wants us to try to stop making Him be something He's not. He's a God of miracles, a God of mercy. Let me give you another one. He's a God of justice. He's a God of justice. You know, justice is one of those virtues of God that just simply is this. It's one of His virtues that consists in giving to everyone his just due. That's what justice is. Take your Bible, if you would, and turn to 1 John, if you would. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. The Bible says this. Now, the key to this verse is the very first word. And it's the word if. Now, He says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful. But look at this next word. It's part of His character. It's part of Him. He is faithful and just. So why would God, if I come to Him and confess my sin, why would He be just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness? Why? Because He wants to be God. And guess what? He gets to choose that. That's what He wants to be. Listen, folks, He wants to forgive. He wants to forgive sin. The problem is we won't come to Him and admit that we've sinned and get His forgiveness so we get back in the favor of God. But that's what He wants. Every parent in here, it's what you want from your kids that disobey you. You want them to come to you willfully. You want them to come to you repentant. You want them to come to you with a broken heart and ask you to forgive them and make it right. That's what you want. That's what God wants too. The Bible said He is just to forgive. You see, God bases His justice, dear friend, on His Word that you have in your hand. Remember the memoirs? Remember the diary? That's what He bases His justice on. He's a just God. His virtue that gives to everyone what is his due. By the way, let me prove this to you. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 7 says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." You know what that is? That's a just statement. That's because He's a just God. He's going to give to everyone His due. But wait a minute now. He goes on to say in Galatians 6, 9, "And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not." You know what that is? That's a just God. He's being just again. May I say also to you in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10, this is to every believer. The Scripture says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." For every believer, there's one day a judgment called the judgment seat of Christ. And you know what? At that judgment seat, you will face a just God that will give to you according to your due. That's what He will render to you. He will render judgment based on your life, not His. It will be based on the life that He had for you. But may I say, also facing those who are without Christ, Revelation chapter 19 tells us, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." You say, "Oh, why? Why?" Because He's a just God. By the way, when you read the Scriptures, you find there is provision for that not to happen. But He's got to be just, right? Listen, when you go to a court of law, don't you want the judge to be fair? Aren't you depending on Him to be fair based on the facts? Don't you want Him to be judge? Yeah, that's what you want Him to be, right? You don't want Him to show partiality. You don't want Him to be impartial. You want Him to make judgment based on the facts, and you want Him to be just. And sometimes when He's just, you don't always like it. And I don't always like it. But He's going to be just, and God will be a just God. That's the reason, dear friend, that we must allow Him to be the God of justice. That's the reason when He said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay." Then you know what you need to do? You need to take your hands off, forgive, and move on. And let Him take out vengeance on those to whom He will take vengeance on. Because He said, "I will have vengeance. I will repay." Hey, listen, you know what? That's a promise. He's already said He's going to repay them. And I promise you, you let God do it, He'll do it, and they'll never forget it. You do it, they won't ever forget it. But you let Him take care of them, and I promise you, they'll never forget it. That's the reason you say, "Well, what am I supposed to do when somebody stabs me in the back?" Well, I'm glad you asked. Because in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 44, the Bible says that you're to pray for your enemies. Do good to them that despitefully use you. You say, that's crazy. You know why? You got the attitude because you don't want God to be God. See, you think He's going to let them get away with that. That's what you think. But I'm here to tell you, He ain't. No. He's not. See, the reason we get disappointed in God, because you know what we want to see justice now. Right now. I want them to burn now. I want them to pay now. Let me tell you something. The first time the gospel came to you and you rejected, you better thank God that He didn't say, "I want you to burn now." All right, that's it. You got one shot at it, buddy. Now you're going to burn. Thank God that He's a God of justice. Thank God He's a God of mercy. Thank God He's a God of miracles. You see, because of this, because we serve a just God, He can bless the righteous and curse the unrighteous. He can reward the faithful and chastise the disobedient. He can forgive the vilest sinner and restore the repentant man. You know why? Because He's God. And He wants to be a God of justice. And let me give you the last thing. Not only is He a God that wants to be a God of miracles. Not only does God want to be a God of mercy. He wants to be a God of justice. My dear friend, He wants to be a God of grace. He wants to be a God of grace. Did we not read in Psalm 145, the Lord is gracious. The Lord is gracious. You know what He does? He gives to me things I don't deserve. And thank God He don't give me things I do deserve. He's a God of grace and He wants to be graceful. Listen, dear friend, He wants to give grace in your time of need. That's the reason. Child of God, listen to me. The Bible says very plainly in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 16 that you and I, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Why can I come to the throne of grace? Well, that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Anybody got any needs? Anybody got any needs? He said, okay, then let me be who I am. Let me be God. Let me be a God of grace. Let me give to you as I so desire. This is some have infirmities. But Paul said in time of infirmity in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he says, my grace is sufficient for thee. Even in infirmity, even in temptation. Hey, how about even in protection? His grace is sufficient. Listen, folks, you're going to get to heaven, and you know what? You're going to have an absolute fit finding out what God kept from happening to you. Some of you ladies go shopping late at night. Here's an old boy sitting in his car, and you know what? He's got every intention of mugging you. And he's sitting there ready to mug you, and he reaches over to get the door, and his stinking door won't open. And he's trying to get out. He's trying to do everything, and you just walk right past the car, get in the car, and drive off, and next thing you know, the door opens. He said, that kind of stuff don't happen. You know why? You won't let God be God. Yeah. Yeah, He can do that kind of stuff. Yeah, you see, He's a God of grace. He's a God of protection. He's a God in time of temptation. He's a God in time of infirmity. By the way, He's a God of provision also. Now, there's a lot of stipulations and stuff that are connected with the blessings and the promises of God. But I do find in John chapter 15 that he says, ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Now there's some things that are connected with that. And if I'm going to claim that promise, I need to find out what's connected with it and get with the program. You know why? Because I want Him to be God. I want Him to be a God of grace. I want Him to be a God of grace for my needs. But may I say to you here, and I want you to listen, don't miss it. Not only is He wants to be a God of grace for our needs, He wants to be the God of grace for salvation. Hey, listen to me. I got some good news for you. God got to choose how He was going to save people. Isn't that good? And you know how He chose to extend salvation? By grace, through faith. Amen. Isn't that good? You know who chose that? God. You know why? Because He's a God of grace. He'd have to go against His character to make it any other way. He's a God of grace. And He chose to decide, all right, this is how I'm going to save them. I'm going to save them by grace. Now, they don't deserve it. Stinking rascal ate the fruit and messed everything up. But I'm going to extend grace. And I'm going to choose how. But listen, if He can't even obey one commandment, do you realize in the garden there was only one stinking commandment? One rule. Don't eat of the tree. And they couldn't even obey one rule. God said, man, they can't even obey one rule. So if I don't extend grace to them, I'm going to have to smash this thing, start all over. But He extended grace. Listen, folks, we don't have time to go talk about the Garden of Eden and about what He did for Adam and Eve. But you know what? God's grace all over that thing. See? And that same God of grace has extended more and more and more. Titus chapter 2, verse number 11 says, For by the grace of God that bringeth salvation, hath appeared to all men. You see, you know what God's saying? He's saying, I'm coming to you with salvation, and it's full of grace, because you don't deserve it, and neither do I. You see, he got to choose how to save people. That's the reason Paul said in Ephesians 2, 8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Paul knew something about that because he went on to say in Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 21, he says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. He said, you know what I'm going to do? Think I'm going to let God be God. Think I'm going to let God be God of salvation. He chose a simple plan to save people. All they got to do is come. And folks, listen, that's the reason he sent his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to this earth for you and for me. You know what that was part of? That was part of the plan of grace. That was part of the plan. You say, oh, it can't be that easy. Listen to me. Let God be God. He's the one that developed the plan of salvation. Not the Baptist church. Not a denomination. He did. So it can't be that easy. You just won't let God be God, now will you? Now let me tell you something this morning. If you don't let God be God in this thing of salvation, you will die without Christ. And that's not what he wants at all. He just wants to be God. A God of miracles. A God of mercy. He wants to be God, a just God. But he also wants to be a God of grace. And the grace of salvation he's extended to someone here this morning. Can I make an appeal to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Accept, let him be what he wants to be. He wants to be your Savior. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here this morning, you can say, preacher, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I know that Jesus Christ is my Savior.